Okay, let's unpack this. We're taking a deep dive today.
Right.
Looking into some source material about, well, just how common trauma is for adults in the justice system. It's pretty overwhelming.
It really is. The prevalence is staggering.
And our mission here is to get a handle on just how deep this runs, and importantly, how something like trauma-informed group therapy might actually offer a path forward.
And what's, you know, really eye-opening in these sources, it's the sheer scale. We're talking trauma rates way higher than in the general public.
Much higher.
And crucially, it's often linked to why people end up involved with the justice system in the first place. It's not just some separate issue.
Right. It's intertwined.
Right.
And here's where it gets really complex, I think. The sources point out that the actual place, prison, jail, that environment itself,
yeah,
it can actually re-traumatize people.
Exactly. Think about it for a second. You've got loss of control, rigid schedules, maybe unpredictable searches.
Yeah.
For someone who already has a history of trauma, that can echo past experiences. It can make the whole setting incredibly difficult, potentially even making things worse.
So, okay, we have this huge need,
yeah,
right? And an environment that's inherently challenging. The big question then becomes, how do we effectively address this trauma inside the system?
And that leads us straight to trauma-informed group therapy. TIGT, you'll sometimes see it called.
TIGT. Okay.
This is where the sources really highlight a promising direction. It's not just grabbing any therapy model off the shelf.
No.
No, it's specifically adapted, tailored for this really unique and, frankly, difficult context.
Adapted how, though? It seems like you'd need some pretty fundamental shifts. Like, how do you build safety and trust in a place that feels, well, unsafe?
That's the absolute starting point. It's right. Foundational principles like safety, trustworthiness, peer support, collaboration, empowerment, cultural responsiveness. These are key. But putting them into practice in a correctional setting means concrete things like having really clear, predictable group rules, making sure facilitators are consistent, reliable.
Predictability, right?
Yeah. And being upfront about the limits of confidentiality because, you know, it is a correctional facility. It's about carving out any sense of agency you can in a place where people have very little control.
And the group part sounds important, too. The sources really emphasize peer support in TIGT.
Oh, absolutely. Sharing experiences, doing that in a safe container with others who get it, that can be incredibly validating. It helps combat that deep isolation people feel.
Breaks down walls, maybe.
Yes, exactly. It's a chance to, you know, maybe start rebuilding trust, learn healthier ways to interact, and just realize you aren't alone in what you've been through. Models like Seeking Safety get mentioned because they tackle trauma and substance use together, which is a really common overlap here.
Okay, so the theory sounds good. The principles make sense, but does it?
Mm-hmm.
Does it actually work? Do we see real changes?
The evidence presented is pretty encouraging, actually. Participants report real reductions in things like PTSD symptoms, anxiety, depression, the core stuff.
That's significant.
And improvements in related issues, too, like substance use, which we just mentioned.
What about behavior, though? Like inside the facility, does it change how people act day to day?
Yes, the sources point to that as well. Things like better participation in other programs, fewer disciplinary incidents. It suggests people are getting better equipped to manage their responses, their triggers.
Okay, fewer write-ups, more engagement. And the really big question, I guess, recidivism.
Yeah.
Does it make a difference whether someone comes back?
That's a critical piece, right? By helping people process the trauma and build coping skills, TIGT seems to get at some of the underlying drivers of the behavior that led them there.
The root causes.
Exactly. And the data suggests a real impact. There's one statistic that really stands out. A 19% lower odds of rearrest for people who got trauma-informed care versus more traditional services.
Wow. 19% lower odds. Yeah. That's not small.
No, it's not.
It really shows that tackling trauma isn't just, you know, a mental health thing off to the side. It has direct public safety implications.
Absolutely. It underlines that this approach isn't just the ethically right thing to do for the person. It's also a smart, evidence-based strategy. It helps break these damaging cycles of trauma, crime, and, well, more incarceration.
So, wrapping this up, what does this deep dive mean for you listening? It shows trauma isn't just present, it's pervasive in the justice system, and it deeply affects behavior and the chances of returning.
A systemic challenge, really.
Right. And trauma-informed group therapy, when it's carefully adapted for that setting, focusing on safety, peer support, shows genuine promise. We're seeing reduced symptoms, better behavior in facility.
And that crucial drop in reoffending. Remember that 19% lower rearrest figure?
Powerful stuff. It suggests that focusing on healing isn't just, I don't know, soft. It's actually effective rehabilitation.
It appears to be, yes.
Which leaves us with a pretty big question for you to mull over. If addressing trauma is this vital, this effective, for both healing individuals and for public safety, what might it look like if the entire justice system started shifting its main focus, moving away from just punishment and more fundamentally towards being trauma-informed?
Definitely something to think about.